Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, and welcome, and happy Easter Wednesday to you from Catholic Answers Live, and we're very happy you're here with us. Thank you for being with us. This hour, the chaplain is in, which means we address pastoral concerns and tackle issues that have to do with the care of souls more than we tackle apologetics and that kind of thing. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and if you could use some spiritual or relationship help, today is your day. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And of course, when we say the chaplain is in, we mean Father Vincent Serpa, who is our chaplain here at Catholic Answers, is a Dominican priest and is also staff apologist here. And I hear him every day doing the Catholic Answers Minute. You probably do too. Hi, Father Serpa.
Hi.
And how are you post-Easter?
Well, I'm certainly in.
You're in. That's good. That's what we needed. Okay. The chaplain is, in fact, in. You were telling me before we went on the air that someone was asking you about, or they were saying that they're having a difficult time praying.
I was just about to answer a question. Somebody wanted to know, what do I do? How do I start praying? And so I turned the question right around to listeners and to you. What would you tell them? What would you tell them? How do you start praying? What do you have to do to start praying?
You have to just speak to God. That's what I would say. I'm not getting a good look on your face right there. It looks like I might have got that one wrong, Father.
No, actually, no. That's just it. It's how do you speak to anybody? You just
say
speak,
hello.
You know?
Yeah.
And just because you can't see him doesn't mean that you're not speaking to him.
Yeah.
I trust I'm speaking to a number of people right now on the air, and I can't see them, but it doesn't stop me from speaking. We have something in common. You know, we're human beings, and we have interests. I think most of us who are involved in the program believe in God and want to come close to him. Well, I mean, we've got things in common with God, too. I mean, he created us. He designed us, you know. I mean, the first thing you might say is that thank you. You know,
yeah,
thank you for
right.
existence, you know. Certainly a good stimulator for prayer is to have somebody look at a crucifix and you begin to think of who Jesus is. And what that does is that it puts you thinking of him rather than yourself. And
then
you start talking to him about, you know, what he did and how long he did it and why he did it. And you get into it, you know?
Yep. And I have to say, Father, in my own life, I think there have been times when one of the things I feel like I had to kind of learn not to do is to be all Mr. Fancy Pants when I'm talking to God, like using a lot of formal, like you can talk to God that way, but it doesn't have to be a lot of like these and thous and all that you can talk to God as a friend.
Well, you could say, good evening, God. It's so good to be with you.
Yeah.
But that's kind of formal. I don't think I've ever in my whole life ever thought of saying that. I used to pray to God when I was a child. I would, after I saw this movie that Bells of St. Mary's, and this Ingrid Bergman played the part of a nun, and she was talking to the Lord using her own language, you know, her own words.
Right.
And I started doing that. So
yeah.
I would talk to God the way, as I mean, I was, you know, a 7-year-old. I would talk to God the way I talk to my dog. You know, I'd tell him what I wanted for Christmas and, you know, what was of interest to me. And now, you know, for an adult, I mean, I think we got a little more to say than that. But I was speaking from where I am, you know. And so we do that. You know, Lord, I'm lonely today, or I'm feeling down.
Yeah.
How is it that this feeling can be a good thing? You're allowing it to happen, so there must be some positive aspect to it. Help me to help me to accept it without necessarily having to understand it. If you want me to not understand it right now, that's okay too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you just start talking, you know.
Right.
You're talking to someone you're very grateful to and who knows you, who designed you, who knows you inside and out.
Right.
There's nobody else you can talk to that way.
Yeah.
And but he's so aware of us, and he's so present at all times. There's no secrets from him, and you don't have to worry about being misunderstood by him, because that ain't going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
So
prayer is
we're made for it. We're designed for it. We're the only creatures on this earth who can do it.
Yep. And there's also the thing, I think I'd still do this, actually, where there's some part of me that I'm avoiding talking to God about. And it seems intellectually so silly, like he doesn't know, you know. but if you could just say, I'm avoiding this.
Well, you know, one of the things I've noticed when I pray for things, you know, prayer of petition, one of the things I don't do anymore is explain things to God. You know, Lord, would you please make this one because of this?
And, yeah, right, you know, right.
Lord, you know, may your will be done. And whatever you want is good, but you know what my bias is. You know what I would like, but you know better than I.
Right.
And that way, you know, you're not talking down to God and trying to tell him how it's supposed to happen.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny how, and much of my life, without realizing it, I did that when I prayed. You know, I think I've got all these people to pray for, and let's see, you know, this one is, you know, all you have to do is just mention the name, you know, and
right.
He knows the situation,
right?
You know?
Right.
So that works. You know?
Yep. I got all these questions now on prayer, but are just like the other thing I used to think was you couldn't divide up prayers. Like if you were saying a rosary for somebody, you mm-hmm. couldn't throw somebody else in on that, because that would like cut it in half. You know, like it'd be half a rosary for yes. each of them or something.
I've had questions about like that,
but
too.
But it's not that way.
No.
That's not how it works.
No. No, it's not. No. No, speaking there. And the thing is, again, you don't have to explain much to him. He understands the situations. And certainly, he pretty much knows what it is that we want. But the big thing with prayer is acquiescing to him. That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing is you're acknowledging him as your sovereign, so there's worship there, right there. But you're also saying yes to whatever he wants,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
And that's the pinnacle of prayer, of all prayer, but certainly even the prayer of petition, because it's always with a proviso that whatever he wants is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's a little about praying with humility.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was reading about that in, you know, the Divine Mercy. Sister Faustina has diaries of mm-hmm. conversations, so it's like an interior kind of, and she talks a lot about praying with humility, that God doesn't turn away someone who's humble.
Well, in the scripture, that's always the case. So
yeah.
Whenever he tells somebody, you know, it's your faith that saved you, well, it was their humility. I mean, humility was behind the faith.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
The humble, you know, they had great attraction for him.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause they were so honest.
So that's why I start my prayers with, I am so humble, Lord.
Is that what
you mean? I'm really good at being humble. And then I go from there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I see.
You don't think that'll work? Maybe I'm not quite getting the idea. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour. The chaplet is in. We'll have to take a quick break. But when we come back, any question that you have of a pastoral nature, now is your time. If you have apologetics type questions, if you'd like explanations about purgatory or the sacraments or that kind of thing, maybe hold them for another hour. Today, we tackle issues of that have to do with the care of souls. And we'll be back to do more of that with Father Vincent Serpa in just a minute on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
We've all heard the phrase, the new evangelization. In previous centuries, missionaries would travel to foreign lands to evangelize. But today's missionaries are more likely to focus on fallen away Catholic neighbors or relatives. But what about the old evangelization? The two millennia of Catholic missionary efforts by the likes of St. Paul, St. Augustine of Canterbury, St. Francis Xavier, and most importantly, our Lord Himself. We must not forget the methods they used to spread the faith to the farthest reaches of the world. Our situation may be new, but the essentials of evangelization always remain the same. In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, author Eric Sammons provides a practical guide to putting these essentials into practice in everyday use in your interactions with family, friends, coworkers, and even fellow parishioners. Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serva. In the account of Luke 24:13, two disciples were walking into a village 7 miles from Jerusalem on Easter morning. As they were conversing, Jesus himself joined them without their recognizing him. They were cast down because of his death. Like so many other Jews, they were accustomed to focusing only on the pleasant aspects of the Messiah in Scripture. They weren't prepared for a Messiah who would suffer and die. So he explained the Scriptures to them and how it all had to be. They urged him to dine with him. And in the breaking of bread, they recognized it. We also tend to focus on the pleasant aspects of the gospel, forgetting not only the central place of the cross in the Lord's life, but also its central place in our own. It is only in recognizing the necessity of the cross in our lives that we will recognize him in our lives as well. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And the chaplain is in today on Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa here to take questions of a pastoral nature. If you're having trouble in relationships, trouble with your prayer life, maybe need some help in need to regularize the situation with the church, Father is more than happy to take those calls and to help you with that. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. And Father, just coming in to the out of the break right there, they were playing your Catholic Answers Minute, and I was listening to it, and you say that little tag at the end. Mm-hmm. Do you always say it every time, or is it like pre-recorded and you just like
I say it on the end?
Every
time.
Really? Because it sounds, you got it down.
I wake up. Yes, I can see
you wake up saying that?
I can hear my sleep.
Really?
Yes.
I'm tempted to just.
I know Vince is over, but Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
That's good. Well, okay.
So, I used to type it out each time, then I just stopped. I didn't do that anymore.
Well, now I've been here 3 months, you know, Father. And now people, like if I, they want my phone number. Somebody were talking, oh, I want to give you a call. Can I get your phone number? 888-318-7884. I forget. Oh, that's not my phone number. That's the Catholic Answers phone number. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest. The chaplain is in. We go now to Jack in Bristol, England, listening on Catholic.com. Jack, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hey, good afternoon, Father. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good. My question is on near occasions of sin. First, sort of what constitutes a near occasion of sin? And if you're not sure if something is a near occasion of sin or not, is it okay to go to confession resolving not to put yourself in that sort of situation until you've sought further advice, perhaps from a priest or somebody who's up on moral theology.
Well, okay, first of all, we have to realize that a near occasion of sin is not a sin. You know, it's an occasion of sin. It means that you could sin and you have to be careful, but it's not a sin. So you don't confess near occasions of sin unless you deliberately put yourself into one, unless you deliberately put yourself into a situation where there's a good chance that you're going to be overcome by temptation. You know, whatever the temptation is, it could be carnal, but it could be, you know, selfishness. It could be saying something cruel to someone that really, really hurts, you know. And, you know, we know what the near occasions of sin are. We know that when we're in an area where, we better watch our step because we're darn close to losing control of our tongue or whatever it is that we're, you know, however we're being tempted. So was there more to that now?
For example, if you're not sure that something is in your case, then it might be I don't know, watching a particular program, is it okay to, you know, I'm just thinking, because, you know, obviously confession requires...
Okay, again, if the program is going to be a temptation for you, then better to avoid it. But when you don't know, when you really don't know, you can't be guilty for what you don't know. If you don't know that it's an occasion of sin, if this program could be, but you don't know, have any reason to know for sure that it is, and there's some, it's funny or something, of the, and you're attracted to it. But if it has definite strong sexual overtones, and you know that there are times when such kinds of situation would be an occasion of sin, then better to don't go there.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jack, very much for that call. We go now to Desiree in San Francisco, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Desiree, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My question is about the Blessed Mother. I'm actually a Baptist, but I love the Blessed Mother, and I came back to church through her. Mm-hmm. And I really love to tell my Protestant brothers and sisters about the Blessed Mother. And mm-hmm. someone who was a guest on a program before Easter, I ended up purchasing his videos from St. Ignatius Press, and I wish I could remember his name. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I was researching on the internet about him, he called the Blessed Mother the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if that's scripturally based, or if that's in the catechism, or where. I just thought it was, she has such a, unique relationship to the Holy Spirit, unlike any other human being, which I just think is so overlooked by Protestant people, and it's such a special way to know her son. But I just was so curious about that word, that okay. phrase.
Well, the only way we know that she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit is through Scripture, because... she became incarnate by the Holy Spirit. She had no relations with a man. So the Father of Jesus was the Holy Spirit, in a sense. She became incarnate by the Holy Spirit. So it stands to reason that that the Holy Spirit's her spouse. The God the Father is certainly her father. And she didn't become pregnant as a direct result of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that is named in Scripture as the one responsible. So it makes total sense that her relationship with the Holy Spirit in this regard. And it's unique because no one else conceived by the Holy Spirit, only her. And, of course, the offspring was human and divine. So if she's not the spouse of the Holy Spirit, what would she be?
Yeah. But then the fact she married Joseph.
Well, he was the foster father of Jesus, and she never consummated the marriage with St. Joseph. St. Joseph was the foster father of Jesus, and in a sense, the foster husband of Mary, in that he wasn't used. He was used not as a husband would be used, other than the fact that he protected her and was there for the child. But as far as the birth or the conception of Jesus and his birth, it was the Holy Spirit. So therefore. She conceived the Holy Spirit and therefore was the spouse of the Holy Spirit.
I just love that. Is there any place in Scripture where she's called the spouse of the Holy Spirit by any of the apostles or any of the letters?
Not that I know of, but in the Gospel of Luke, certainly she conceived of the Holy Spirit, and that's pretty blatant there, it seems to me.
And if I may suggest a book to you, Behold Your Mother, the book from Tim Staples here at Catholic Answers, really remarkable in all of its scriptural references and in its scholarly references, and I'm sure could help you in that regard. That's Behold Your Mother by Tim Staples. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Desiree.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We go now to James in Charleston, South Carolina, listening on 7:30 a.m. James, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hello?
Did I press the wrong button? I think I did.
Oh.
James, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that, James. What's your question for Father Serpa?
Father, if you feel guilty even after going to confession, what does that mean?
It means you feel guilty. It doesn't mean you are guilty. It means you have that feeling. You could very possibly have a little problem with scruples because when you go to confession and you're truly sorry for your sins and you're absolved of your sins, you are absolved of your sins. And, you know, holiness is not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of what we believe, what we know. You can be guilty and not feel guilty, and you can feel guilty and not be guilty. So simply because you have the feeling of guilt afterwards doesn't mean that you are guilty or that you didn't do a good job or something was with the confession or something was missing or whatever. Not at all. Being in the state of grace is not a feeling you have. It's just knowing that your sins are forgiven and you're free. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, James. And Father, from Facebook Live, we get the following question. And hello to everybody watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. Thanks for being with us there. And Daniel on Facebook Live writes the following. If we committed mortal sin and we try to go to confession but do not arrive in time, and Mass is immediately after confession, can we receive communion if we have all intention of going to confession at the next opportunity?
I wouldn't. Mortal sin is cutting ourselves off from the Lord. Certainly, if you had perfect perfect contrition, but the problem is, how do you know when you have perfect contrition? You know that there's your contrition is pure and you're contrite because you have offended God and you realize just how deeply you've offended Him. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
So that person, you can still go to Mass, of course, and you can do all that, and then go to confession, and then once you have gone to confession, then you can receive.
Certainly.
Go to
the priest after Mass, and possibly he could receive, give you communion after Mass.
I had a strange thing happen once. Mm-hmm. This puts me in a mind of it. May I ask you about it?
You may, on the air, for the whole country to hear.
Well, I was standing in line to go to confession before Mass. Uh-huh. It was one of these situations where confession was before Mass. And the priest came out, and he said, I don't have time to hear more confessions. And he gave a general absolution, and then he left. And then, he went to... And then I was like, I don't even know what, I'm not exactly sure even what to make of that.
That was valid, but that means you still have to go to confess those sins. They're not forgiven, but that you need to acknowledge your sinfulness and express your contriteness. It's not easy to acknowledge that we've sinned. It's
right. Right.
We need to do that. We owe God. If God was willing to die and suffer that our sins might be forgiven, the least we can do is acknowledge them to Him in the sacrament.
But the fact that the priest came out and saw there was a long line and gave a general absolution.
Well, if the priest did that, then the priest can do it. Certainly, in a situation of a catastrophe of some sort, he can give absolution in a general way. I wouldn't do that myself if I were a priest. There needs to be something more important than that. But for me,
yeah.
But my understanding is that if he gives a general absolution, the burden would be on him, not on the people. They're acting in good faith. The priest said, your sins are forgiven or absolved, so they can do that. But he also should have said to you, though, that but you need to mention these whatever mortal sins you may have, you need to mention the next time you go to confession.
I think he might have said that, actually. Okay. It was a while ago. I can't remember. And I was a little relieved, too, because he was kind of a grumpy priest. So I was like, go find... Is that the wrong thing? shouldn't say that on the air.
Well, it's done now.
It's done now. All right. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest. The chaplain is in. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live, and I'm looking forward to meeting you this September 28th to 30th at our fourth annual National Apologetics Conference here in beautiful San Diego. This is one conference you are not going to want to miss. The theme is the reunion of all Christians, and we've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. For almost four decades, Catholic Answers has been engaging our separated brethren in charity to bring them to the fullness of the truth. Join us for a lively and inspiring conference designed to help you play an active part in the reunion of all Christians. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith. Seats are available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
Widely regarded as the premier magazine of Catholic apologetics and evangelization, our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine features the articles you want by the authors you know and respect. Year after year, Catholic Answers magazine has been bringing the very best teachers the Catholic world has to offer into thousands of homes on a regular basis. Top-notch writers like Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Mark Brumley, Tim Staples, Carlo Brissard, and Matt Nelson. The list goes on and on. It makes a perfect gift for family and friends, students, priests, and seminarians. Just about anybody you know. And of course, don't forget about a subscription for yourself. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com to subscribe today. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
I could ask you for a little bit of help. If you've had, maybe Catholic Answers has meant a great deal to you at some point, has made a difference in your life, we would very much appreciate it if you would be willing to record that testimony for us. And I'll give you a phone number in just a second where you can call to record that testimony. When you call the number, you just tell them, I want to record a testimonial for Catholic Answers Live. It's very, very helpful to us if we have those, and I have to be honest with you, we also just really love hearing them. So if Tim or Jimmy or Father Serpa or anybody else here has given an answer that's made a difference to you, or maybe just listening on a regular basis has made a difference to you, and you're willing to record a testimonial for us, the number is 619-387-7200, and make sure you let the person know that's why you're calling. 619-387-7200. Thank you very much. We're back now with Father Vincent Serpa. The chaplain is in this hour, and that means if you have questions about the spiritual life or relationships that you would like to discuss, 888-318-7884 is the number. We're happy to take that call. 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Kayla in Fort Scott, Kansas, listening on 93.7. Kayla, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi. I was wondering about praying novenas and praying, you know, very deeply for something and then God not answering those prayers. Like, for example, I had a friend that was pregnant and she knew pretty much all along that the baby was going to die. And I prayed novenas and I prayed deeply every day for this child and for a miracle, and it didn't happen. And the baby, you know, she died an hour after she was born, and it's just hard to understand, like, why are we told no sometimes, and did that baby get to go to heaven because it wasn't baptized? And so I'm just kind of looking for some answers there.
Well, first of all, Lord, why do you think God wants us to ask him for what we need? Why do you think
why? Mm-hmm.
Was it certainly not because he doesn't know what it is we want? Why do you think he wants us to pray like that?
I don't know. I've never thought about that.
Okay. What he wants is, first of all, to acknowledge our need for him, our dependence on him, and then to trust that he loves us and that he will answer us in the way that we that will best benefit us. And he's certainly not out to not answer our question or what it is that we want, not give it to us. But he knows better than we. So that's why I meant when I was talking earlier about asking God for things, we do it, with the understanding that whatever he wants, he knows better than we to begin with. But when we ask for what we need, we humble ourselves, for one thing. You know, we acknowledge that we're not enough for ourselves, and we acknowledge that he is more than enough for us, and that we trust him, and our trust is an expression of our love for him. You know, so often when he'd work a miracle, he'd say, it's your faith that's healed you. To trust him is to have faith, you know, and it can be an act of love. And he knows better. I mean, he knows when he wants us, and his knowledge is perfect. You know, whatever he determines is the real thing. And so evidently, in this particular instance, he wanted that child at that particular time. And but he also wanted you to put yourself out for that child, to spend time asking you to help the child, and to acknowledge that he alone is the one who can heal us in any way, so that he brought the best out of you when you did that, and so the good was accomplished by that. His will was done, which is certainly good, and he brought the best out of you over this. You actually showed love for your friend and for the child by praying on behalf of the child. So all those things are good. So he answered you in the way that was best for you, even though it wasn't what you expected or what you were thinking of.
Or what I wanted,
right,
you know, and I know that
wanted.
That's not about what I want.
Yeah. Well, and he gave us a great example when he prayed to the Father, you know, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. There you are.
Yeah.
He showed us how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what about the baby wasn't baptized? I mean, how does that work?
Well, the church teaches that the Lord loves, I mean, there's certainly a lot of scripture about the Lord, how much he loves us, and how much he loves little children. And so shows us that his mercy is perfect and unlimited. So we entrust the child to his mercy. And, you know, the holy innocents, I've mentioned this before, their lives were taken because of the Christ child. Herod was out wanting to kill all the children, little boys that were 2 years old and younger. It was a horrible thing, you know, killing these little babies, my goodness. But the children had very short lives, but we celebrate their sainthood. We celebrate, there's a feast in the calendar of the church, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. They're considered saints, and they weren't baptized. And they didn't deliberately choose to be martyrs because they were too young to be able to do that. Their lives were just snuffed out, period. But because of the Christ child. And there's an example of unbaptized children going to heaven. So it's very possible that other unbaptized children do too. The church doesn't say one way or the other. Again, we entrust them to him, to his mercy. So it's very possible that child is with the Lord.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Kayla.
You.
Okay. Thanks very much for that call. Father, another question from Facebook Live. This is Michael on Facebook Live. He says, is prayer a solo activity, or would you encourage husband, wife, family to pray together?
And to that I would say yes. Yes, it is a solo activity, but it's also, it's not either or. Both are appropriate. And so praying together is important. You know, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, he says. Not midst, midst of them. But also, he tells you to go to your room, close the door, and pray to the Lord in secret, and the Lord who hears in secret will reward you. So both are appropriate. It's just a matter of the situation. You know, it's when you're with your wife, nothing is greater than greater activity than to pray with your wife. You know, someone you love and who holds you together in marriage. But also, it's necessary to pray to the Lord, and that's the way we operate. You know, we function on our own, and we function with others. We're both. You know, we're both social and solitary.
888-318-7884 is the number. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour, the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, and that's why we call this hour The Chaplain Is In. So if you have questions of a spiritual or relationship nature, if there's some help you would like in moving maybe past an obstacle in your life, whether that is a relationship or a spiritual or an emotional obstacle, we're very happy to take those calls. We go now to Sam in Calgary, Alberta, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Sam, you're on with Father Serpa. What's your question?
Hi, Father Serpa.
Hi.
My question is, it's a biblical question, and there's some point in the Bible where Christ tells the disciples before the Passion begins to go out and, you know, get some swords to arm themselves. And then later on, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter draws the sword, he's, you know, reproached for doing that, and Christ tells him to put it away. And I was just wondering what your take on that was and why Christ would tell the apostles to arm themselves. I'm going to hang up and listen for your answer.
Okay,
thanks.
Well, I don't know why that sentence is there. It's not one that I even remember reading, but I just vaguely. But I know that what jumps out is that he said, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And then Peter cuts the ear off the man, and our Lord miraculously heals it. So that certainly trumps anything else he might have said about swords, it seems to me. But I'd have to look at that script, that passage, and read a commentary on it, because I barely remember it.
Yeah. So. I've heard before that has something to do with his prophecy, that he's prophesying that the Jewish war is coming, essentially.
Okay.
That involves an aspect.
So basically he's saying, you know,
it's going to get bad,
get prepared, that things are going to come.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily literally to go get your sword, but to know that strife is coming.
Right.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Well, look at me.
Why? Wow.
That was really impressive.
Well, well, the Lord said about Satan going from heaven, he saw him go to cast out of heaven, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like that, like lightning. So I think I'm going to move down this table a little bit here and start talking like that.
You think lightning might strike if I do some apologetics?
I'm not saying it will.
All right. We're taking a break on that note. 888-318-7884 is the number. The chaplain is in. Father Vincent Serpa here to take your calls on relationships, the spiritual life, prayer, or any obstacles that you might have in your faith life. Happy to take those calls. We'll be back with more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about a great new resource for all of you who seek to help your friends and family as they journey into the Catholic Church. For Protestants considering the Catholic Church, the journey across the Tiber River to Rome can be long and perilous, filled with many obstacles and detours. For Catholics who want to help them make the crossing, often it isn't enough to give the right arguments, proof texts, or book recommendations. You have to journey with them. In Navigating the Tiber, How to Help Your Friends and Family Journey Towards the Catholic Faith, Devin Rose draws from his own experience as a convert and Catholic apologist to help you guide your Protestant friends and family members on that harrowing river voyage. Not only does he equip you with the knowledge from Scripture, the testimony of the early church, Christian history, he shows you how to deal with the common aspects of a convert's journey. The river to Rome is unruly, but crossable. Order your copy of Navigating the Tiber and help your friends and family have smoother sailing on their way to Christ Church. Get your copy of Navigating the Tiber today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live comes to EWTN Television.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Join me for a show dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization as we connect viewers to prominent leaders in the church today and touch on just about everything relating to the church, from doctrinal issues to family concerns, social issues, evangelization, ethics, you name it.
Catholic Answers Live TV, Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Next hour, Rose Sweet will be here with us. This is one of the best things that can happen to a radio program. We're going to talk about Christ-like relationships with Rose Sweet. This hour, the chaplain is in. 888-318-7884 is the number. And Father, we go to Fernando in San Francisco, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Fernando, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say thank you very much for the show. You guys have really helped me ground my faith.
What kind of weather do you have in the city today?
Oh, it's clear. Clear skies. Clear. I'm actually on my way.
You have, right now. You've had rain lately. I know that.
Yeah, we have.
You know that's where Father's from. He's from up there.
I'm the Bay Area.
He's from, he's a Bay Area guy.
And a city is a nickname for San Francisco.
You just say the city. That's like New York. You just say the city. Mm-hmm. And
pardon?
Yeah, he's going to – he said that you come back. And I think Father, he'll come back. He likes San Francisco better than he likes us here in San Diego. I'm convinced of it. Fernando, sorry we interrupted you. What's the question for Father?
So I had a question. My mother, when she was 19, she married a man that was about 10 years older than her and who abused her physically and psychologically. Well, they ended up getting divorced. And my mother married the man who is my father today.
And she married your father.
My mom.
She married your father out of the Catholic Church, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So they got they had a divorce, and then she married the guy who became my father.
Right.
So my mom's been trying to come back to the Catholic Church and reestablish her faith, and she's been going to confession. But the priest that she was going to confession told her that she wasn't allowed to go and confess. So I was just curious as to what the church taught on that subject.
Well, okay, first of all, it's very possible the fact that she was so young and the situation, it's possible that she could have the marriage annulled. She'd have to go and see a priest about it. But it is – I assume that that first husband is still alive, you probably don't know, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I haven't talked.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, if she is willing to live, she and your father are willing at this point to live as brother and sister, then she can go to confession and receive Holy Communion. I would suggest that she see what can be done about applying for an annulment, and until or if that annulment is granted, to live in a celibate way, and then because see, the thing is they're not technically married, so they're not allowed to have intercourse, but if she's willing to be celibate while she's waiting for the possibility of the annulment, she would be able to receive the sacraments.
So she can go to communion and get confession?
Yes, if she and if she lives in a celibate way, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Bob.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Fernando. We go now to Simone in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on. Whoops, where did it go? Oh, Simone in sorry, I don't have our time today, Father. Listening on Living Bread Radio. Sorry, don't give me that look hurts, Father. Simone, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's always a comfort to hear your voice on the air.
Oh, good.
And it's nice to have the host with us too.
Thank you.
And you're very welcome. So the question is this, my husband is a skeptic. Mm-hmm. We are both Catholic, and I'm practicing Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
What ideas do you have for me, Father, to help me to keep my sanity?
Well, just spend time before the Blessed Sacrament on a regular basis. You know, spend time reflecting on the Lord's passion and his love for you and what he was willing to do on your behalf. Realize that you are who you are because he designed you. He gave you, whatever you have, whatever the strengths and weaknesses you have, that untidy combination that's true of all of us, is the result of his design. And he's given you difficult things to endure, like the skepticism of your husband, as a cross to carry. You know, the cross is a good thing because it enables us to give something back to him. It's a way of loving him back by being willing to endure something that's difficult. In the gospel today, the gospel passage at Mass, these two men are disciples are on their way to Emmaus, and they meet Jesus on the way, and they're downcast. They don't realize it's him. Excuse me. And they're telling him, how bad they feel. And then he reveals himself to them when the breaking of the bread, and then they realize that it was him. And they had, like so many other people, had thought in terms of the Messiah in a very positive, light way, you know, all very pleasant and all, and not thinking in terms of that the Messiah was to die, suffer and die. And it's not as pleasant a thing to think about. Even in our own time, people, you know, it's a lot easier to think about Easter Sunday and the rising and Jesus being victorious and all the rest, but that only happened as a result of the 3 hours he spent on the cross and the whole day that he spent in this passion. We need to be willing to look to the cross because it is there that we find him. We will find Jesus in our lives when we look at the cross we're carrying and willingly accept carrying it because we want to show our love for him. And that brings peace. That brings peace like nothing else can do. So I suggest that you do that.
I do believe that, Father, in my heart, mm-hmm. and I have found that to be true, and your words are affirming.
Good. Good.
And I very much appreciate that. It's very much a consolation.
Good. Very good.
Thank you, Simone, for that call. We go now to Chris in Indiana, listening on 95.7 FM. Chris, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
My question is a person is dying, got 20% survival rate, and is asked for a priest to come and, you know, hear a confession or whatever. And the priest got there, but she slipped into coma before he was able to do that. He did some prayers and stuff, and we prayed together. But she could not ask for forgiveness. She had left the church for a while back, mm-hmm. but she hadn't been going to church, and she finally, you know, wanted to make peace or whatever you want to call it.
Certainly.
But she died before that happened. Mm-hmm. What happens then?
Well, her intention was that she wanted to receive the final rites of the church. And intention is everything, you know. God gave her the grace of wanting that, even though the priest didn't get there in time. That's a great consolation for the family to have, that on her deathbed she had the desire for the Lord, and the Lord would not turn his back on someone who wants him, you know. The only people he turns his back to are those who don't want him, you know, but, you know, that turn their back on him. But she wasn't doing that. She wanted him. So that's a very consoling thing to know about her. And her family should take consolation in that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chris. We go now to Russell in San Antonio, Texas. Russell, doesn't say what you're listening on, Russell, but you're listening, and you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello, gentlemen. Can you
Hi.
Hear me there just fine?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just driving back home, and I was looking through the stations and caught the show, so I decided to call in, and because I'm in an interesting situation here. I don't believe in the supernatural, but my girlfriend is Catholic, mm-hmm. and she believes. So I'm perfectly fine living the Catholic lifestyle as a way of respecting her beliefs and implementing it into the relationship. But I'm just trying to understand how to better have that relationship with her if if the spiritual side of it is needed as much as the cultural expressions of the religion.
Okay. Have you been baptized yourself?
No, I haven't.
You have not. Okay. But, well, the church certainly allows what we call mixed marriages. It does allow Catholics to marry people who don't share their faith. And you seem to be willing to cooperate with it. There would be no problem with that. In fact, I commend you for putting her spiritual welfare ahead of yours. It doesn't resonate with you at this point, but your care for her allows you to want to support her in what she believes. That's a commendable thing. I salute you.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm looking for like some sort of what expectations would be coming down the road for like marriage and children and things of that nature.
Well, again, she is, as a Catholic, is encouraged to do all that she can to have her children brought up in the faith. Would you see yourself as being an obstacle to that, or would you be willing to go with it?
I have no problem with children being brought up in the faith, of course. I don't see myself as particularly trying to feel like they need to. I would feel like they would being indoctrinated to the religion without being able to question it, because it should be able to stand on it. The belief in the system should be able to stand on its own and be obvious to that person as to why they should believe it, not believe it just because they've been told to believe it.
Well,
if she came to her faith because she believes it because of her own truths about the religion that she found for herself to stand on, that works for her. But if her children don't find that, I don't feel obligated in forcing them to continue down that pathway until they find that truth themselves.
Well, that's fine if you don't feel that you need to support them in the learning about the faith that they've been baptized into. But as long as you don't, as children, you know, as long as you don't violate their faith, you know, violate what they believe. Certainly, as adults, they can choose to do what they want. You know, no one's going to force them. But it's like everything else. You know, the values that we learn as children, we learn them. We later on can pass judgment on them. But everyone has to start with some value system. And your wife, being a Catholic, wants to share that value system with the children as she experiences it and as she truly believes it. So, you know, it is important that if the children are going to be baptized as Catholics, they should, you know, it would not be to their benefit to be a wet blanket or just to say, you know, well, that's a bunch of hogwash when they're children. You know, when they're capable of defending their faith, then you can certainly discuss things like that. But as children, they're not adults yet, and they need the needs of the support that having a religion can give them, whether, you know, you agree with it or not.
Russell?
I wouldn't want to present it in a negative way, of course.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, then, yeah, I wish you well, and we'll pray for your relationship.
Thank you, Russell. And thank you, Father Vincent Serpa, for being with us this hour. Can we have your blessing before we go?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father Vincent Serpa. Next hour, Rose Sweet is in here. She will occupy that very chair. And we'll be talking about Christ-like relationships. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about relationships, and particularly about whether or not Christ is relevant to the relationships in your life, or how to make that relevance clear in those relationships, well, Christ-like relationships is our topic next hour with Rose Sweet. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.